I'm so thankful to the Lord tonight. I am so thankful that He's in control. And just to show you how much He's in control, my sermon just went blank. So we'll see what happens here. Amen. All right, let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we indeed are thankful, O God, tonight. We are thankful, Lord, that You reign in the hearts and the affairs of men. And we pray, Lord, indeed, that You take perfect control. We believe that You are control. That's our testimony. Father, that Your will done Your way, Lord, is always pleasing to You. And Father, we don't meet and join us here in vain, but we come with that assurance in our hearts that wherever two or three are gathered together, Lord, there You would be in their midst. And so, Father, we just thank You, Lord. Our hearts and our hands are raised up to You. We're so grateful, O God, for this opportunity, Lord, to be gathered. We give You thanks and praise, and all of this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I'd like to sing a verse, and while you're doing it, I'm going to see if I can resurrect this. If we're always trusting in the Lord anyway. So, amen. I'd like to sing that hymn, There is a Fountain. Where would we be without the blood? Amen. Thank the Lord. Is it 54? Okay. There's the fountain filled with blood drawn from the sand to our feet. Can we? Emmanuel's veins and sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunge blood, lose all their guilty stains. Last verse. Then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing Thy power to save. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, lies silent in the grave, lies silent in the grave. Amen. This poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave. Amen. I'm so grateful. The Lord has absolutely power over death, hell, the grave. Amen. And we're so thankful to Him. While you're standing, please, would you please open up your Bibles? Let's turn to Matthew 24. Thank you so much for your music ministry to us, my dear wife and Brother Derek. Amen. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. Hear that. Y'all feeling good? Everybody doing good? Amen. They're all nodding their heads. We've got the quiet group tonight here. So, amen. I'm going to hear some big amens from home. So, amen. Matthew chapter 24, verse 7. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated. Look at that. You shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. It's interesting to note that Christians are being persecuted and killed than any other group. It's a fulfillment of Scripture. Okay? It's got to happen, saints. You shall be hated of all nations. Of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That's another marking point. Love of many is waxing cold. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. It's another touchstone. Okay, turn with me please to Revelation chapter 17. This whole chapter 17 is talking about that great harlot that sitteth upon many waters. And we know who is controlling that. We know who the Antichrist is over. We know the power that is in the Antichrist. It is Satan, right? Revelation 17:17 says this, for God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will. Don't ever forget that. The Lord is in control. God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and to give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Amen. Let's bow our heads again. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will not, Lord. Please break to us the bread of life. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 God bless you all. It's so good to see you. We don't hardly see enough of you. We're grateful. And I'm thankful to that. And of course, we miss Brother Don and Sister Mary. Usually are here every service. We just pray they have a nice, restful time there at the cabin. And for the rest of you saints, too, wherever you're found at, Brother Fabio, Sister Myra, our hearts are rejoicing in your joy. Truly, God is good. And I know without a doubt that he is with you, and that you always look to the Lord, as indeed the Lord is in control of all things. Amen. Let's just keep lifting them up. We know that a lot of us who, of course, have children, we know the joy of that, of bringing children into this world. But we also know there's a certain apprehension simply because of the condition of this world. And if it wasn't for God that we can look to, for every one of us, if it wasn't for God that we can look to, we might be full of despair. But tonight I want to say that God is in control. You know, it's a crazy time that we live in. And bear with me. I'm going to circle back a little bit on something that I had ministered on, because I want to embellish, bring out something a little more. I believe that'll be a blessing. And it's really a crazy time that we find ourselves in. Now, they're even talking about our beloved governor of the state of Minnesota now wants us to wear masks, it sounds like, in the sanctuary. So you all stay posted. I'm sure we'll get more word on that as it approaches here. But it's a crazy time that we live in. I just read for a city in our nation, a very large city, was overcome by a pandemic where people were social distancing, avoiding each other in the streets. Houses were marked with those infected and people were leaving the city in droves. many cities didn't even want those from that city to come in at all because they were infected. And of course, the usual, they had to wait 14 days before they entered into that city. And the nation is greatly polarized. One side conservative, calling for law and order, and the other side, the other believing it was okay for the mob rule if it brought out a desired end. And the newspapers were lopsided in their reporting, often resorting to lies and great distortions of the truth. There were sympathy violence too, that breaking out in other parts of the world claiming solidarity. In the same city, mobs were restless, hating the conservative head of government, believing the president was aiming to be a despot, that he would never leave office, that he would take all the power in his hands and become the very thing that they feared. And this sentiment fueled by the lies that were in the newspaper, by the lopsided reporting. Mobs numbering 10,000 were marching past the president's residence, calling for his head. You know what I'm talking about? Does anybody know whom I'm talking about? Not Trump, George Washington. Are you all surprised? You see, much we see today has been here before. Ecclesiastes says this, the thing that has been, it shall be, and that which is done, that which shall have been done, and there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it is said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which has been before us. You see, a corollary to this is they who fail to learn from history, I know my son is groaning, they who fail to learn from history is doomed to repeat it. Isn't that amazing? I stand totally amazed at the weakness and failures of humanity. People don't change. People don't change. Times change and kingdoms come and go, but people keep making the same mistakes over and over again. It's amazing how fallible, how predictable we humans are outside of Christ. Amen? And outside of Christ, we have no hope. And that's the point. Outside of Christ, we have no hope. God's hand was on America back then because he had a purpose in America. What happened in France during the French Revolution was in a rebellion to God. Was rebellion to anything, and that's why it didn't succeed. But America had a purpose in this time. Now his hand has been taken off. See? Every nation that is during the time, their judgment comes at the time that they do wrong. You're judged in this life, okay? We're judged in the life after, right? So they're judged in real time, if you would. Okay? The judgment is hanging over the United States, but not only over the United States, over the whole world. God is sovereign. Turn to Daniel chapter 2. Once. 21. It says, and he changes the times. Sorry, wait till the pages turn here. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them who know understanding. Okay? Hold on a second here, please. I'll get there myself. says in Daniel that the Lord is the one who determines which kingdoms rise and which kingdoms fall. Okay? The Lord is behind everything. That's an important thing to always remember. The Lord, no matter what happens, God is in control. We read in Daniel 2 how that Nebuchadnezzar was given a dream from the Lord about a great image. 2:32 said this image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Okay? We understand from reading there that King Nebuchadnezzar was the head of gold. From there came all the other kingdoms on down until you come to the feet in the final description of toes of iron and clay. Okay? And Brother Branham pointed out in 1960 during the UN summit, Khrushchev with his foot, he pounded on the desk. I looked into this a little bit. According to his daughter, his shoes were too tight for him. They made him uncomfortable, so he took them off and he slid them down alongside of him there. And while somebody was up there making a point of how countries surrounding him were oppressed and they didn't have the freedom that they should, he was pounding his hand on the table. And his watch flew off. He heard it. He had killed his watch. So as he went down there and picking up his watch, he saw the shoe. So he reached down and he grabbed his shoe and he started using it as a gavel. Even in that, how that the Lord was in that place, causing those shoes to be too tight, causing his watch to fall off, causing him to reach down and to grab. Why is that? Because the head of the kingdom on the west was President Eisenhower. His name, that's a German name, actually means the cutter of iron or the worker of iron. So it's iron, and we're told, Brother Branham said, that Khrushchev means clay. And here he's grabbing the shoe, pounding it on the table, drawing all the world to the shoe to draw our attention to the foot to show the hour that we're living in. This is the kingdom of clay and iron, all of the world where it says it does not mix. Partly strong, partly weak, it does not mix. Okay? Daniel 2:43 says, "And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." So there is a stone in Daniel 2, not made with hands, that came and it struck that image and broke that image that had its head of gold and its breast of silver and then of brass and its loins and legs of iron on down to the iron of the toes of iron and clay. But that stone made without hands came and it smote that image and it broke it to pieces. And that rock that was cut without hands, of course, we know that to be Jesus Christ, His kingdom. That's what smote all of that. So what I'm trying to draw our attention to is we are right on the cusp of the making of history. We are right there. Okay? Is God's word true? Amen? And no matter how impossible things look, God is still going to bring His word to pass regardless. I think, remember one time Brother Derek was laying all the things down that were impossible. I'm going to get to that list here in a little bit. But in spite of it, no matter what things look like, it's going to come to pass. We should know that too from even Brother Branham, his own testimony. And he saw this big silver-tipped grizzly bear. Do you remember that testimony? Anybody hear that at all? He was out there hunting with a brother, Southwick. And he said, yeah, I saw a silver bear. And he was right up there. It was up in Canada. And he was able to see the great panoramic all around. And he said, you say that bear is supposed to be coming? He says, yes, bud, you believe? Sure, Brother Branham, sure I believe, right? And he said, you were getting down there. They were carrying it down. They're getting down to a certain point. Before they would bring it down, that bear was supposed to appear. And they'd walked walked a time. And he said, Brother Branham, shouldn't that be bear be coming about now? He said, Brother Bud, I thought you said you believe. He says, yeah, I believe, but you better be coming soon, you know. And he says, Brother Bud, what's that right there? And up there in a speck there was a silver-tipped grizzly bear coming up over that mountain. I don't know, he says, where that grizzly bear where it appeared, but there it was. And he says, are you going to kill that bear with that little 22 rifle, that 220, it's actually 223, a small rifle? He called it Blondie. He says, that's what the vision showed me, brother Bud. And you know the story and how he shot the bear. And he was only supposed to shoot it once. And Brother Branham actually was going to fire it again, but the gun jammed. Because according to the vision, there was only one shot. And that bear came, it was just charging, and it still came, and all of a sudden it dropped, and it went boom, boom, and stood maybe 30 feet away. And Brother Bud, his face was really white. And he said, what, were you worried about it, Bud? He said, you believe? He says, sure, I believe. Brother Branham, but I didn't want him in my lap, you know. So, it doesn't matter how impossible things may look, but it'll happen just the same. Amen. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. Now, we're told that when this rock that was made without hands smite this image of these nations, that kingdom is going to be established and be forever and ever. Okay? But what I want to say and draw our attention to and tie things up, things that you already know, that this kingdom materializes in this world. It's established first in the hearts of the believers. The kingdom of God, keep in mind what Jesus preached, comes without observation, right? It's in another realm, but it's found in the hearts of the believers. It's the same kingdom that Jesus represented when he was here. Amen? Matthew 4:12, if you want to open up and read there, let's just read a little bit here. Just want to draw your attention. Matthew 4:12, he says, now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast and the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them that sat in the region in shadow of death, light is sprung up. And from that time, Jesus began to preach. See, that preach, the preaching is the light. That's what the light is. And the life. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay? Amen. The kingdom of God, remember? Jesus said, this kingdom comes without observation, but it's within you. That's Luke 17:21, if you want to see that. He says, lo, they say, either shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. No, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. That kingdom, though you couldn't see it, it was that life is more real than the kingdom that they were before him. Here Jesus was, he was placed into the land that he had given to the children of Israel that was being overrun by the Romans. I'm repeating myself a little bit because I got a point here. He didn't concern himself with the political activity of that day. He wasn't concerned about that because there was a more real kingdom that was going to replace every other kingdom that was going to come upon this world. And he went around, he was testifying of that kingdom. Because even though you might not be in that kingdom in this world, you can still be partaking of the kingdom of heaven wherever you are, in whatever circumstances that you find, because keep in mind that that dimension is more real than this dimension. So you can call heaven down, if you would, in that your life that you live, it's a reality that is around you. It's around you all the time. Though your physical eye can't see it, yet it is a power that is greater than any power that there is in this world. And so even when Jesus, when he was walking around here in this realm, and he was aware of what was in this realm, he was more aware of what was going on with the eye can't see. And from that realm, he could control everything that was in this realm. He made the dumb speak, the lame to walk. He had control over every physical thing. He could walk on water. He calmed the sea. He had power over the elements. He was the creator. Amen. Amen. All the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him bodily. All the power of God was dwelling right there in him. Amen. Matthew 4:23 says, Jesus went about all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness, all manner of diseases among the people. Amen. Amen. So he was testifying of the kingdom of heaven. And then when he was taken up bodily up into heaven, when he rose, when he died for our sins, it's for the purpose, for this purpose I came into this world. What was the purpose for? It was to testify of his kingdom. What was the purpose for? It was to die, that his blood would be shed to pay the penalty for all of us who can't even hardly walk. We can't even at all approach unto God because we're separated from him by our sins. Even if you're born in this world, it doesn't matter how clean you live. It doesn't matter how righteous, how pure you are to your wife if you're married, or how pure you are to your husband, or how clean you walk with your neighbor. You never tell a lie in your life. And yet Brother Branham said that your righteousness, my righteousness, even living that clean, can smutty the blackened walls of hell. Okay? So our righteousness is as filthy rags. We needed him to come to shed his blood. For this cause I came into the world. Amen. That he would die, that he paid his price so that we could live holy and blameless before the Lord. It's important that you see that you never forget that. Amen. So, all that was in Christ, he poured into, all that was in God, excuse me, he poured into Christ. And all that was in Christ, he poured into his church. Amen? The reason why that is because we are his body. We are his witnesses. All that was in Christ was poured into his body. Think about that. So we go forth with his power. We go forth as his authority. All of heaven and hell, he said, is given into his hand. All power in heaven is given into his hand. And he places that into the church. Think about that. Amen? He says, why is that? He says, with His Spirit, you and I become witnesses. We are not of this world. We are ambassadors of His kingdom, which will have no end. All that was in God. Amen. We are testifying of it. So now the fullness of the Godhead is dwelling in His church, which is His body. That's Ephesians 1, 23. The fullness of Him that filleth all in all. So believe it or not, tonight, all of us, we sit here. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's what His Word says. You ever think about that? Christ in us, the hope of His glory. Why not? It's His Word. Amen? Amen. Amen. So eventually, His power in the bride of Jesus Christ is going to lift her up off this earth. Right now, you and I, in this world, we are the salt. We are the preserver of this world. We are what's keeping this world from being infiltrated, taken over completely by hell. You're holding back the tide. Christ in you, the hope of glory, you're holding back that tide. But He will let. He that letteth shall let. He that hindereth. It's the Holy Ghost. Shall hinder until He, the bride, for the ram's head, is taken out of the way. So he is hindering Satan from moving in here fully while the bride is there. Okay? Amen. 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 And when we're taken up to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Revelations 19:13. I better move quick here. He was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, and His name was called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed Him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, that if he should smite the nations, and with it He should smite the nations, and He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And He hath on His vesture and on His loins a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Setting up His kingdom. Revelation 11:15 says, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. So you see, we're right there at the door. We're right there. The reality of the kingdom of heaven is pressing its way into the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen? It has to happen. It has to happen. Not that we control His power, but conversely, there is no limit to what God can do through an individual yielded to Him. Like Brother Derek was sharing from that song. It isn't that we use His power. No, it's that we yield ourselves, and that His power then is expressed through us as we yield to Him. Amen? So the degree we can yield ourselves to God is the degree He can use us. But how can this happen? How can this possibly happen? I'd like to ask you a question. How can a bunch of slaves under bondage be delivered out of Egypt? How in the world can that happen? How can that happen? Impossible. But God, how did a virgin conceive to bring forth the Messiah? How can that possibly happen? It's impossible. But God, amen? How did a people, the Jews, scattered and swallowed up by all the nations? Think about that. This is another thing that truly testifies of the accuracy of the Word of God, you can absolutely put your trust in it. Think about that. Any other people that was ever swallowed up and brought up was consumed by nations around it, and they were forgotten, totally forgotten. How did the Jews, swallowed up for a couple millennia, still retain their identity? How did that happen? When they were deposed from Israel, the Romans changed the name of the land to Palestine in reference to an old enemy of theirs, the Philistines. And the Philistines weren't even a people anymore. They were totally absorbed by the nations around them. There's a testimony that they had lost their distinctiveness simply because they got absorbed. But not true about the Jews. How did that happen? It's God. It's God. How did this tiny, fledgling nation on the first day of its birth, with all the enemies posted on its borders with tanks and armies? Now you think about that. The very fact that Israel was established as a nation is against all odds. There are just so many things that were contrary to it. It'd just be an impossibility. In fact, there's a documentary put out. You can find it sometime. And the name of that one is Against All Odds. How is it that its enemies posted on its borders with tanks and armies ready to snuff them out before the day ended, being outgunned, out-tanked, out-planed, out-manned? How did it possibly survive? It was impossible, but God. To me, I'm just totally amazed. I look at that and I marvel. Anything that brings glory to God, my heart just swells. This is wonderful. What a wonderful God we serve. He promised He would return Israel back to a nation, and He had. Amen. God's word is true. He promised He would do it, and He did it. Against all odds. And He's showing Himself that He is still God. He is still over the nations. That is why Psalmist said in Psalm 103, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. We are bought with a price. We are not our own." Amen. He is over us. He does with us as He wants, as He pleases. How did Israel become a nation? That nation had been exiled all those years. One of the songs sung around Christmas time, I love that haunting hymn. O come, Emmanuel. Y'all know it? I'm sure. That rant that mourns in lonely exile here. Oh, I'm sorry. And ransom captive Israel. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. See? When that song was written, Israel was still exiled. It's a modern event of God fulfilling His word. When this song was written, Israel was still exiled. That mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Think about that. I will restore, saith the Lord. He does things as He chooses. He moves in His own counsel. Who can stop Him? Who's going to stop Him? How is it that you and I are going to be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect? How is that going to happen? You see, it's totally taken out of our hands. Totally out of our hands. As long as you look into yourself, you'll fall. But if you look to the sacrifice, if you look to the provision, if you look to that which He has done, that is the only way that you'll be perfect, because Christ's perfection is imposed upon us. Amen. Amen. It is God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. How are we going to take the rapture but God? Amen? Jesus paid it all. His blood has paid it all. Brother Branham said that the bride of Jesus Christ has the mind of Christ. She, like Abraham, isn't swayed by circumstance. She isn't deterred by what she sees to the contrary. She only holds to His word. That is her stand. Unlike Pentecostals, I'm not talking about Pentecost at the beginning, I'm talking about 1900 Pentecostal. She isn't led away by feelings that depends on sensations. Her meat is thus saith the Lord. But she also, I want to stress this too, and this is very important, she hungers for His fellowship. Worship of her bridegroom is very much part of her makeup. And everything she does is in worship of Him. Everything. I want you to think about that. Whatever you do, whether it's clean the house, going to work, going to school, in everything, do all for the glory of God. If you can't do it for the glory of God, don't do it. Amen? She is all about worshiping Him. Are you hungering and thirsting for Him? You're blessed if you do. Amen? Or do you feel that your experience is getting a little dry? The Bible says to call out for Him. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be given unto you. Let me repeat that, please. Whatever you have need of, guys, listen, you don't ever have to give in to the devil. I don't care what he does. You don't have to take it lying down. You don't have to put up with any of his nonsense. Satan is a liar. He's a father of lies. He can do anything that he wants to do. Amen? God will, not Satan. Satan's a liar. Amen? Satan is a liar. You don't have to put up with him at all. You just tell it exactly what it is. Brother Branham one time says this, it's not enough to know that he's a liar. You got to tell him he's a liar. Use your vocal cords. Come up against Satan. Don't let him push you around. Resist him. The Bible says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Resist the devil and he shall flee from you. Amen? And whatever you have need of, whatever it is, if you have need of it, ask Him. Ask the Lord. The Bible says to ask. Jesus said, if you ask, it shall be given unto you. If you have need of something, ask. If you feel that your experience is getting dry and you want a fresh touch from the Lord, ask. If you feel it's still dry, seek. Jesus said, if you seek, you shall find. Amen. If you feel you still haven't got an answer, keep knocking. Jesus said that the door shall be opened unto you. Amen. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh shall find. Him that knocketh, the door shall be opened unto you. He wants us to. It's a promise to us. Saints, let's exercise this, please, in the promises of God. They're for us. And be mindful that we are called to a kingdom that comes without observation. And there's a greater reality in that kingdom than there is right here, that we can call heaven down. We can create such an atmosphere around us. The people coming into our presence, it's the heaven that is called down around us, amen, because of His presence with us. You are the salt of the earth. Here it is, your life, Christ's life in you is what's causing those around you to be thirsty for Him. It's so important that we be salty. It's so important that we be that difference maker. Our lives are different. How are they different? is because we are dedicated to the Lord in everything that we do. We want Him to be glorified. We want to testify of the Lord, if not by our mouths, by our lives. In everything we do, help us, Lord Jesus, help us. We want to express the Lord, amen, to a dying world. We are blessed with exceeding great blessings. It is all Him. We are made for His purpose. And He's ordained that we should cry out for it. And that's important. He doesn't want us to say, like Brother Branham, just pick me up by the collar, Lord, and throw me in. Even though the Lord had already foretold that the children of Israel would be delivered out of Egypt, they didn't take it lying down. They cried out for it. They wanted to be delivered from the bondage that they were in. And it was when that God had heard the cries of His people that He sent forth a deliverer. He said to Moses, I hear the cries of my people and I send you. He wants to hear our cries. He wants to hear us. It's all Him. But He works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. By grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We are created unto good works, which God hath ordained. He has foreordained that we should walk in them. Amen. So it's not just that we're saved, we're saved by grace, but that our works declare that living, resurrected Lord Jesus. Amen? Amen. 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 We're made for a purpose. He's ordained us to cry for it and to cry to those around us, oh Lord. This is my prayer for my life particularly, a burden for lost souls. If we can see the glory of heaven, if we can see the brightness of His countenance, the joy of the Lord, and we can see the horrors that are going to come upon the earth, for the inhabitants are behind, and we can see even worse, the place where all are going to go to, oh hell, the lake of fire. I pray, Lord Jesus, please give us burdens for lost souls. Please, please. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And to him that heareth say, come. The Lord wants to invite. It's interesting to say, and him that heareth say, come. What happens if I'm not bride? To him that heareth, come. Amen. He didn't say him that heareth was not bride, but sometimes we limit the Lord. He's given us marching orders, and sometimes we feel that those orders are meant to be for somebody else. And so if there's any question at all, the Bible says, to him that heareth, say, come. Amen. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Freely. It's freely given to those who want it, to cry out for it. If you're dry, the waters of life is available to be given to you freely. Amen? Amen. I'm so glad for His promises. You and I, we've got a part to play. Amen? We have a part in this great drama. Amen? Let's rise to it. Please, let's rise to our part. Can we rise to our feet, please? And let's close in a word of prayer. Lord, oh God. Lord, I see how Satan, is there musicians come? I see how Satan, just doing everything he can to distract, everything he can to downplay, Lord, your ministry. Everything that he can, Satan is doing to to thwart, to deflect, to give all manner of reason, to doubt. But Lord, I believe that every heart here standing, we believe we serve a resurrected Lord Jesus. We believe that your word is true. It comes to pass regardless. No matter what things look like, no matter how bleak, no matter how dark, your word will come to pass just exactly as you had promised it, Lord. If there be anything in anybody's life that's hindering the move of God in their lives, Lord, I pray that they lay it at your feet even now. Lord, have mercy. We know, Lord, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that your love is great. You're consuming fire, the Bible says, because you're jealous over us. Lord, we're grateful for that jealousy. Please let nobody go until each and everyone is conformed to your very image. Lord, we are your sheep, the people of your pasture. It is you that have made us and not we ourselves. Lord, so bless each one here and help each one, Father, I pray. Lord, we ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Somebody have a song? About Word Ever True? What is that in the handout here? Word of God Ever True? Changing me, changing you? What number is that? What's that? 53? 53 in the handout? Amen. Long before our walk in this world moves on with God's own heart, oh, let the word of God depart. Life, words of hope, give us strength and help us cope. Wherever we roam, Word of God will guide us home. Word of God ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open heart, the Word of God will
verse.
Holy words of our faith manifested to this age, come to us through sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ. Holy words long preserved for our walk in this world, they resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the word of God impart. Word of God. open heart. Oh, let the word of God impart.
Amen. Let's sing that song, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. Amen. As we go our way.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of His
asunder part.
When we asunder part,
we're dismissed.
It breathes.